CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Before you laugh at that and think that that's just some idiot on a flute, that is a Grammy award-winning idiot on a flute. That's Wouter Kellerman. That's right.
Makes a difference with a Grammy, doesn't
damn
it?
Damn right. He made a special version of the intro music for Mabale's news. But before we get into any of that, let's quickly go to Tyron, who's on the line. He wants to talk to us, who are we to not allow Tyron to get on the air and speak to us? Hey, Tyron, what's up, dude?
How's it, Gareth? How are you?
Yeah, lovely. By the way, can I compliment you on this clear phone line?
Oh, it's terrible.
As soon as I said that, it started going bad. All right, Tyron, what's up?
I've lived in Durban since Cliff Central started, and I've never actually seen your guys' offices, but I'm driving through Joburg this morning for business, and I wanted to come past and see if Ben's head is as big as you guys say.
Well, you can... actually, I'm glad you brought that up. At the moment, because Ben's entire body is caving in, and he's about to give up on living, you can see his head sticking out of the one window while he vomits, and it's so big. The head is so big that you will see it from wherever you are in Johannesburg. Where are you now?
We're on a freeway somewhere between the last petrol station and Joburg itself.
Oh, you can see from there easily. Right, Mubs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Visible. Clear as day.
Ben, shake your head from left to right. There we go. Everybody can see
actually,
that.
Actually, you're right. I can't see it up the hill.
There we are. Exactly. All right. Very good. So what are you up here for, Tyron?
We have to do a site visit at some Jubilee Mall in Hammanskraal.
No, that's nowhere near Joburg. Good luck to you. That's north of Pretoria, dude.
Yeah, no, I know, but we've got to go through Joburg to get there.
Have you ever left Durban for anything?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. I've been in Cape Town for a few months. I've been in New Zealand for a few months.
But you've never been to Joburg?
No, I've been to Joburg, just not since Cliff Central started.
Oh, sorry. Forgive me. All right. Well, listen, dude, it's a pleasure to hear from you, and all the best to you on your travels. Make sure that you make lots of money while you're up here.
Thanks very much.
All right, dude. There we go. There's Tyron. Mubs, over to you.
Well, Gareth, let's keep things light today because it is a Friday, and of course we're heading into the weekend of love.
Oh, yes. That's right. It's romance time. It's Valentine's Day.
So why not get rose-scented farts this Valentine's Day?
What? Rose-scented farts?
Rose-scented farts, Gareth. This Valentine's Day, transform your stinky farts into romantic scents with a nifty fart pill.
Apparently you get these charcoal pills that... Sorry, I'm trying to do this in tune. There we go.
That's pretty good.
That's amazing control. What did you have last night?
Oh, boy.
That's pretty good. All right, there's my Valentine's contribution.
All right, well, that's pretty bad because your farts don't smell anything like roses, Gareth.
No, but if you take these pills that you're talking about, what happens?
Well, if you suffer from irritable bowel syndrome or any other digestive woes, you'll know that excessive farting can easily ruin all kinds of situations, including romantic situations.
Of course.
So 65-year-old inventor Christian Poincheval has created a pill that helps reduce gas and makes the smell of your farts a lot more pleasant. In fact, he says his pills can even make your farts smell like roses, violets, chocolates, and other romantic scents.
No way. No way. I don't believe it.
La pilule pet is the name of the pill, which literally translates to the fart pill. It's made using 100% natural ingredients, including fennel and seaweed.
Ugh.
It includes rose and violet-scented additions.
What if it makes it worse?
Oh, boy.
You know how sometimes if you go into a public bathroom and someone has taken a really disgusting, stinky dump and then they've sprayed that
air freshener
around, that makes it worse, right?
Yeah.
It almost grabs onto the molecules and then wafts them further.
No, it's much worse. It's pungent then.
Does burning a matchstick really work?
I think so.
That's an old method.
I think so.
Yeah, it is. It's better than that air freshener stuff.
Because if you light
a
match, what happens is that all the flammable stuff burns. And that's often the stuff that's problematic.
Now, if you think this guy is taking a chance, no, he's not, because a Father Christmas chocolate-scented pill was launched ahead of the 2014 Christmas season.
No.
So he's a pro at this kind of thing.
Okay.
More recently, he's also launched a ginger-scented edition, specially made for Valentine's Day. So if you are the kind of person who thinks, this is rubbish, but I want to try it anyway because it could be fun, La Pilule Pet can be ordered online.
Well,
how much? 335 rand for a box of 60 pills.
Okay, well, I think obvious question here. Do you take this because you want to fart and therefore have the smell, or do you take this just in case you fart and therefore you want the smell to be okay?
You take this if you suffer from ailments such as irritable bowel syndrome, where you are dropping more bombs than the average person.
I think those people should just, they just should be single.
Because can you imagine you get into bed and this someone sees it the wrong way and goes, right, and I've got these fart scent, these fur scent, I'm going to let rip now. And you're like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, I got these pills. Smell those roses. No.
Anushka says, please stop. I feel my life is doomed. Farts and Zuma, I feel sick. She also says, I was not going to vote, but now I will vote EFF. I have been won over by the EFF.
Aluta continua.
Yeah. All right, before we move on with more news and particularly anything more about the State of the Nation address, I don't know if you saw Tulima Doncella yesterday wearing a beautiful yellow gown.
Oh, she kind of stole the show in terms of the fashion aspect of things.
Yeah. I don't know what... suddenly she's this glamorous-looking woman. She looked beautiful.
With good a very long Tulima. Train.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if no one's going to listen to her in a professional capacity, she might as well, you know... Show yourself up.
No, well, the point is that on Tuesday, the Constitutional Court said that she is a very serious player and that she should be taken seriously. So now, not only does she have that in her arsenal of weapons, but she now also has that she can be a belle at the ball. Look magnificent. We've got Nando on the line from America. I wanted to check in with him quickly because we did speak yesterday very briefly about what is going on in the primaries. They had the New Hampshire primaries just a couple of days ago. How did that go? Hey, Nando, good morning, man.
Hey, what's going on, Garrett? Hey, guys.
Good, good, good. First of all, congratulations on having two dumbasses in the Republican Party leading the charge. And congratulations on Bernie Sanders beating Hillary in New Hampshire. That's interesting news.
Yeah, I'm raising money right now for Bernie Sanders. I think he's going to tip over on one of those stands, so I'm trying to get him a walker.
All right,
you know, they just wrapped up the debate tonight. They had another Democrat debate tonight in Wisconsin, and Hillary dropped the mic on him tonight. She basically called him out for calling for opposition against Obama in the last election. So tonight she took off the gloves and smacked him around pretty bad.
Wow. Did Bernie survive?
You know, he kind of was wobbly the whole night because she took him into some deep waters talking about some foreign affairs. And he's a local schmo, you know, he can take you around the neighborhood and get some trash cleaned up when he got to get on the plane and actually deal with some real issues. He's kind of weak in that area. So he couldn't really handle that, you know, that space. And he kept pushing back on her as far as taking campaign money from, you know, some of the bigger businesses. And she kind of threw him under the bus as coming to some of the fundraisers to run his congressional campaigns with some of that same money. So she basically called him out for that.
So nobody's completely clean, not even Bernie Sanders, huh?
No, it looked like, I tell you, Gary, I've come to the conclusion right now that it's going to be Jeb, Bush, and Hillary at the end, and we're going to have to hold our breath and just push a button.
Wow, do you think that the Bernie Sanders fans, the people who might have voted for him, if he doesn't get through the primaries, would vote for Hillary?
Well, they're not going to have no choice. They have nowhere else to go. And the problem with it is right now, tonight, I think Bernie Sanders jumped the shark because as when he was referencing a point to Hillary, he went so far as bringing up Henry Kissinger to make a point.
Wow.
Now, if you're sitting with 20-somethings, last thing you want him to do is, you know, say, what is a condom and Henry Kissinger. You know, you lose your whole audience just that quick. So, yeah, he's kind of jumped the shark with the 20-somethings because they're going to have to go back and figure out Henry Kissinger and, you know, put that together. So he had him at first by being able to keep him, you know, current, but he lost it on this one.
What about if Michael Bloomberg enters the race? There's a lot of rumor about that possibly happening. That would split up the same vote, as I call it.
No, he has the same problem that Bernie Sanders has because of New York City, the no ask, no tell, the search, you know, all the, you know, minority people in the community growing up in New York City, the police was able to, you know, walk up to you and snatch you. So he has that same problem where he really is disconnected from the minority communities. Even though Hillary and her family being with Bill Clinton policy, you know, created the crime bill in 1994 crime bill. You know, it's kind of interesting today being at the debate that the Congressional Black Caucus PAC came out, and this is all the black leadership within Congress, and actually endorsed Hillary today. And it got to the point where John Lewis, one of the prominent members of the, you know, the Martin Luther King March, actually got up and said he don't even remember ever even meeting, you know, Bernie Sanders.
Wow. Okay, so it's all going Hillary's way, actually, in the long run. And you reckon,
Like I said, I think you know, we're going to probably end up with our first female president, you know, if things go the way, you know, is projected, and our first Latino vice president, because chances are the inside track is that she's going to pick one of the twin brothers of the Joaquin Castro brothers out of San Antonio, Texas. One of them is currently a Congress member, and one of them is currently in an administration for the Obama administration under the Housing Authority. So he's the administrator for the Housing Authority, and he's the inside track as her a vice president, and she's probably going to drop that card pretty soon right now because she's showing up her, you know, her black vote, and the next move is to go to the Latino community with her showing up of that, and then she should be able to run the board.
And their surname is Castro?
Castro, Joaquin Castro, yeah.
That'll be interesting. What about the Republicans? You say Jeb Bush will be the only guy left at the end of all of this.
Yeah, I think Jeb Bush, because when you look at the firepower he have and the area where he really have to play at is in the South. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go back to the West Coast of the United States, it's all Democrat. You know, you might have some of the northern part of Seattle that have a split, but mostly where he has to play is in the South. That Bell area where it's really, you know, on the you know, they play off the religion a lot down that way. So all that, you know, hooping and hollering won't work for Trump in the South as much, even though he's pushing buttons. But they realists down there. They know what it takes down there. And the game is not so much a political game anymore. Now with that, we're starting to get into business with Cuba. The most beneficial of the country will benefit is the South if they was able to open up that trade and be able to.
We lost you.
Uh-oh.
Dang.
Trade to Cuba. So that South district will benefit the most.
All right.
You still there, Cliff?
Yeah, just one other thing, dude. South Carolina, right? That's the next stop.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen there? Give us some predictions.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be Jeb Bush going to come out of there. I think Trump can, you know, rile him up a lot, and I think they want to do. But let me take you back to South Carolina. You know, I mean, I got to reverse that because I think Trump can take that. When you think about, you know, the governor of South Carolina, when she got involved in a Confederate flag deal, you know, one of the sitting members in the Senate of the state Senate actually called her a raghead because she's Indian descent. Mm. So I think that's Trump town for real. I think he can take the South Carolina side. But beyond that, it just won't play with him. I mean, because I think, like I said, they do have this whole thing about we want our guns and we hate everybody and all that. But at the same time, they understand the power of being able to have a real chance at going after Hillary. And I know they know that Hillary against Trump will never get the Latino vote. And you need the Latino vote if you're going to be the president in this country. You have to have a Latino vote in this country.
All right. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend. I hope it goes well. And I hope that your prediction comes to be, because that would be interesting. Bush versus Clinton yet again.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, dude. Thanks. There we go. There's Nando out of Washington, D.C., giving us a little update on what's happening in America. Sia, do you know what's going on now?
I'm very clued up, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
There we are. Back to Mars.
My Republicans from my Democrats.
There we go.
Well, I'll tell you something that you didn't know. Is that
there's a lot I don't know.
Well, it's that Republican candidate Ted Cruz has had to pull an advert endorsing his campaign.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was discovered that the actress that they used in the advert is actually a porn star.
I love
they
that.
They also actresses.
Which,
oh, that's great.
Which is great, because, you know, Ted Cruz is all about this, you know, conservative Christian values.
Yeah.
And there his people go and they cast for this advert, and it's a great ad which endorses Cruz's conservative Christian ways. Mm-hmm. And then after a little bit of research, it's discovered that the actress, whose name is Amy Lindsay,
yeah,
has starred in a number of movies, including soft porn, mm-hmm, works as great as MILF. I haven't seen that one. Sex Sent Me to the ER. That's actually...
That's a movie?
Well, no. It's also a series on TLC. I don't know if it's still showing.
No, she's on that.
Where basically they get actors and actresses to reenact real-life events of how people ended up in the emergency room because of sex gone horribly wrong.
I just love that the most conservative, the most religious guy in the race has a porn star in his ad. That's just beautiful. Mm. Makes me want to believe.
Now, of course, his people have backtracked very quickly. You know, they pulled the ad.
Of course they have. They've been shitting themselves.
And, you know, when asked to comment, they said, well, of course we didn't know that the woman in question was a porn star.
Because we don't watch porn.
And then this woman, this Amy Lindsay, said, you know, I'm a Republican and I've got Christian values. And I just thought to myself, why can't a person like me, right, with my background, be in an ad that endorses Ted Cruz? What's the problem here?
Absolutely. Hypocrites. What's going to happen when Ted Cruz's daughter wants to go into porn one day? Huh?
Oh, he's going to have her disowned.
Oh, no.
Okay, so we were talking about the Weekend of Love. And then, of course, love is also very closely linked to sex. Yeah.
Yes,
we
of
all
course.
Love it. We're all trying a bit, trying to get a bit more of it every chance we get.
Right.
So how about we go through some of the hilarious expressions for having sex from all over the world? Remember, I asked you not too long ago what you said, doing the beast with two backs, and I didn't understand what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Shakespearean.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there are a whole lot of these idioms, right, or these phrases, ways of speaking when it comes to sex.
Right.
So let's take a look at some of them, and not all of them are in English.
This is very exciting. These will be all the euphemisms and all the other terms used to describe people who have sex. Rather than saying, we're going to have sex, then you can use the following terminology. Mubs, take it away. Let's have it.
Okay.
Go.
Let's start with British English, mm-hmm, bashing the bishop.
Oh, very nice.
Before you panic, it's not actually bashing a bishop. It refers to the bishop chess piece, which looks very phallic. So when you say you're bashing the bishop, you're really just masturbating. Then we've got...
yeah?
It's very difficult to concentrate with these two going.
Come on, Mubs. Don't let it put you off.
All right, okay. Then we've got... parkera busen.
Well, I'm sorry?
Parkera busen, which is Swedish for to park the bus.
Wow, really? That's so sexy.
That's ambitious, a bus.
Yeah, buses are, dare we say it, huge vehicles. It takes skill, focus, and control when pulling in and backing out.
Parkera busen. That is the least sexy thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh, my God. If someone said to me, we want to parkera the busen, I'd say... Krishmir and Tokas, get out of my way.
Pulling in and backing out of a tight parking spot. I don't need to say any further than that. Then we've got Kamho Gaya, which is Hindi for work has been completed. Here, work is really sex. So you're basically saying sex has been completed. That's all. Okay.
Blah, 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 give me more. Come on.
Then we've got rooting. Now, this is...
Australian, right?
Yeah, Australian origin. Because, you know, in America, they talk about rooting for someone, which means cheering for someone. But for Australians, it literally means having sex. So if you go to Australia, try not to say that you're rooting for anything or anyone, unless you actually are rooting.
Well, that's typical of the Australian. Oh, I saw the Sheila in a bar.
Oh, no, here we go.
I took her home and gave her a good rooting.
It's just...
Yeah. I mean... Oh, I rooted her proper.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know, I was listening to a comedian called Whitney Cummings. She's in that Broke Girls, and she's done a bunch of other shows. She's got the stand-up special on HBO. I think it's launched last week. Anyway, the point is, Whitney Cummings says there's something wrong with the way, like, men, everything is so violent in the sex terminology that we use these days.
And vulgar.
Yeah, I'm going to punish her. I'm gonna hit that, or I'm gonna tap that.
I'm gonna give her a good screw.
Right. It's all very violent. It shouldn't be so violent. It's just horrible, nasty language, right? There's none of this. There's no gentility about this at all. And she mentions that she thinks, and also the way the guys are like, yeah, I hit that bitch, you know? I broke it.
Crushed it.
I crushed it. Well, that kind of, why would you talk about it like that?
Well, why do you talk about it like that?
I don't. Please.
No, I don't.
Have you ever heard
you don't?
You ever heard me walk around here going, I crushed that. I took it down. Huh? I slaughtered that. I mean, who talks like that? I slaughtered. I mean, it sounds like a massacre. Who's excited to be slaughtered?
I guess it's the whole conquest thing. So rap culture then took that further.
Yeah, but it's because men are feeling so emasculated everywhere else that the one place they could feel they could still be in charge is kind of this violent language in the bedroom. Even if they don't use it when they're with their partner, and I doubt very many men do. Because if you said to your girlfriend or your wife, oh, I'm coming to slaughter you this evening. She'd go, excuse me, what did you say?
Meanwhile, all she wants is for you to make love to her.
Ah, so the best thing.
Good luck telling her. Okay,
listen to this quickly. There's this video going around. It's people are passing around on WhatsApp or whatever. There are these two couples. But it's the two girls that are going for a run, and they're talking about their men.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the two men afterwards. But the two girls are going on a run through a park, and the one girl says to the other one, oh, you know, I had the worst date last night. It was just the most horrible, unromantic evening. And so she says, well, what happened? So this girl goes, well, he came over to my house, and I'd cooked him all this food. He just wolfed it down in 5 seconds flat. It's disgusting. It was like a bulldog at a porridge bowl. And then we just had sex, but it was like 5 minutes. And once he'd finished, he just fell asleep on my bed, and he just slept in my bed. It was so unromantic. The other girl goes, oh my God, that's horrible. I'm so sorry.
So she got nothing out of that experience, like no pleasure.
So the other girl says, so how was your night? So she said, oh, it was so romantic. He picked me up in a cab. We went to this beautiful restaurant. We ate beautiful, wonderful, amazing, expensive, terrific, top grade food. We had champagne. It was so lovely. And afterwards, we just wandered through the city. We got back to his place, and he lit a bunch of candles, and we sat and talked for a little bit, and then he swept me off my feet, and we went and lay down, and he pleasured me for an hour before we even started having sex, and then we had sex for an hour, and then eventually after that, which was amazing, we kind of just lay there, and we just talked for the rest of the night. So then they skip over to the guys.
Uh-oh.
So one guy says to the other one, so how was your night last night? He goes, oh, it's fantastic. I went over to her house. She made all this food. I ate it. It was beautiful. We had sex. I passed out. It was the most perfect night ever. What was yours like? The other guy goes, oh, it was fucking appalling. Oh, he says, first of all, I picked her up. We went to this restaurant. It was so expensive. I didn't even have cab money for the way home, so we had to walk. We got to my house, the power was out, so I had to light all these candles, which was really annoying. And then I couldn't get it up for an hour, so I just decided I'd get busy with her. Then eventually we were having sex, and then I couldn't come, so I just... Eventually, after an hour, I managed to come, and then I couldn't go to sleep, so I had to sit there and listen to her yapping all goddamn night. It was a horrible evening. And the other guy goes, oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. When mine was so good, poor bastard. And then it just shows you, like, how men and women are looking for totally different things.
Mm.
The guy who had the 5 minute sex and the food and went to sleep was the happiest guy in the world, but it was the worst night for the woman.
I actually think that Mother Nature got it wrong completely. Women should be sleeping with women and men should be sleeping with men. Because you weren't the same
thing. Well, there are people who do that, Mubs. They're not necessarily happy
either. I'm saying all of us. Like, it just seems like we never want the same thing. What is the actual point?
There are people who are doing exactly what you suggest, and some of them are still fucking unhappy. Anyway, it was pretty funny when I watched it. I'll see if I can't find it and put it up on the website.
Okay, well, while we're on this topic, have you ever wondered why some men think that all women want to sleep with them.
Because they're douchebags. A lot of guys walk... I know these people. I know these guys.
I know these people, too.
Oh, they're the worst.
Oh, they're so annoying.
They walk around, they got all this swag. They think they're great, even though there's nothing special about them. They're not necessarily the best looking. They're not necessarily the most powerful or influential. They're not necessarily the smartest. They just have a huge attitude.
Okay, so a guy walks into a bar and catches a beautiful woman smiling at him.
Is this a joke?
No. Does it mean that she fancies him, or is it all in his head? Well,
it's all in his head.
Researchers say that it's likely to all be in his head.
Right.
Research has shown that, in general, men have a tendency to misjudge a woman's sexual intent, particularly after a few drinks. But a new study further suggests that a man's attachment style, in other words, a personality trait reflecting his romantic and relationship tendencies, may influence their perceptions of a woman's interest. Researchers at Union College in New York asked nearly 500 men to imagine a scenario in which an attractive woman at a nightclub catches their eye. The woman notices she is being stared at, and so she smiles back at you.
Uh-huh.
Participants were asked to gauge the level of interest they believed the woman in the scenario was showing.
Am I making you hot?
Ranging from not at all interested to extremely interested. Basically, the men were also asked to assess the extent to which they exhibit either of the two tendencies toward attachment anxiety and toward attachment avoidance. Basically, guys who think that women want to sleep with them all the time are just projecting their own feelings onto the woman.
They just want to sleep with everyone.
They just want to sleep with everyone, so they assume that everybody else wants to sleep with them equally as much.
I'm really negligent.
It's just not the case, people.
No.
How are you?
Right.
These men show higher attachment these men higher in attachment anxiety have a need for love and reassurance, and they fear rejection.
Oh, yeah.
So in their mind, it's easier for them to think that everybody wants me all the time because they're fearing rejection and they have a need to be loved.
Yeah, well, it's, like I said, douchebags. That's it.
We didn't finish the phrases in the different languages. Let me wrap it up with the last few ones.
All right.
Gosh, the Germans. Never romantic in any way whatsoever.
What's the word?
Die Moore Schrauben.
Oh. More schrubben.
Which means to scrub one's carrot.
Again, like, why violence like this?
Generally, since carrots grow underground, you have to scrub them clean before eating, but the carrot in the other context refers to a body part with the same phallic design, so when you're up for it, you can go ahead and scrub your carrot.
Wow.
Then we've got the Italian scopare. Scopare.
All right, that we can learn.
Which means to sweep. According to Super Drug Online Doctor, there doesn't seem to be a connection between the sweeping and the actual act of having the sex, but it's just seen as a simply vulgar term used for sexual intercourse. Somebody just decided scopare means sex,
okay.
So now it's a hit and they use it. Then we've got Russia. Joy, let me try this. Lasugo kulake gonyat.
Ugh.
To pet one's monkey.
Oh, that's... must we bring monkeys? I mean, hasn't Penny Sparrow taught us a thing?
And then lastly, we've got Puna Token.
Puna Token? Yeah, okay, my Puna Token.
All right, Puna Token.
All right, I got you now.
Which is Albanian for...
Are you thick like a can of soup?
To plow the land.
Oh, that's good.
In the context of farming, plowing the land means preparing the land for planting seeds. In the sexual context, well, you get the picture.
Right.
This is crazy.
So, try and throw in a bit of Puna Talking this Valentine's Day and see how far it gets you.
Didn't the Bee Gees do a song called Puna Talking? Huh? Didn't they?
I don't know.
Does anybody know for sure? I'm pretty sure they did. Don't you remember a song by the Bee Gees that went, that's just your poon talking?
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure it... Let me just see. I'm fairly sure this is it. I think it is. Poon talking. Telling me lies. It's your poon talking. John says, Gareth, you would be surprised at what you say to each other after 25 years together. Try and keep it fresh. Mike also says, I don't know what sex Whitney Cummings is having, but there's no way to euphemize the sex that I'm having. I'm a walking jackhammer. Oh, Mike, you're a douchebag. And Rihanna sings on her new album, Come Homicide It. Now, that's what sex is these days. It's like homicide. By the way, an interesting aside. Roman said that he was hit on by Sia last night at the movie. Sia tried to speak French to him.
Oh, here we go.
And he resisted.
Here we go.
Oh, no surprise. Okay.
Not even surprised.
There we go. All right, we don't need this horrible 70s music. But in a moment, we will speak to the Blood Sisters. These two ladies clean up bloody, messy, ugly, nasty crime scenes. Huh?
Which means they have a very strong will. Wow, to do that.
Strong and capable of withstanding the kind of situation that most of us would not. And they say they don't even need to see a shrink to keep them sane afterwards. They just scrub that blood off, they tidy the place up, and then they put it on the market like Oscar Pistorius' house.
Well, thankfully they're a tag team. I think if they were a solo, they might need some help.
Yeah, I'm sure. Deal with it. I'm sure some days one of them feels a little bit worse than the other. I mean, imagine it's your job, and you got a bit of a queasy stomach on that day because you ate a bad curry or something the day before, and you have to go in and clean up some axe murder in Stellenbosch. Huh? Mm. Right? Not exactly my idea of a fun day at the office, but there are different people in this world, and thank God there's someone who wants to do this work. That's all I can say.
Wow, so many questions.
Yep, that's right. Eileen de Jager and Rolien Schutter will be in next. The Blood Sisters. Very exciting stuff. That's on the way. CliffCentral.com, don't you go anywhere. We'll take your calls. You could Skype us on Cliff Central, one word. You can give us a ring on 0861-555-189. You can tweet us, or you can send us a WeChat message. Any of those that works. Woohoo! I can't believe it's already 20 to 8. Friday morning. There's lots of good stuff on CliffCentral.com today. Do you want to hear what's on? There's Untapped Talent with... Sorry, Mubs, what was that?
I said yes, please.
Oh, good. I'm so glad, because I was worried you were saying no, thank you. Sia Sangwenifin, Untapped Talent, what's happening?
So she's basically a friend of the station. Yes. Theodore Lee, YouTuber, we all love her.
Yes.
More than that, we're congratulating her this edition of Untapped Talents because, little drum roll vibe.
Okay. Well, I can actually give you a drum roll.
We're going to really build it up now.
I'm a professional. Do you want one? Okay, here it is.
There we go.
You're not good at these drum rolls.
I'm really not good with the cue as well, thank you. She's been nominated at the 2016 Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Nice.
In the African category as a blogger and a vlogger, so that's very awesome.
Very good. So Theodora Lee will be on. Anything else happening there?
Also chatting to a rising TV presenter as well. His name is Katlego, so it's very, very cool.
Very good.
Yes.
All right. Sex talk this morning. Oh, yes. There's lots of that. Every Friday, there's just sex, sex, sex. It's filthy. Jonty, Sol, and team, inspired by the current openness of racial conversations and looking at our own beliefs and prejudices. Jonty, Sol will ask, why are we not having the same discussions around sex and gender issues? Good point. He and the team will look at how important these conversations are, how all of this is linked to social transformation, and what issues arise from having these conversations. Joining them for the conversation this morning, Christopher Smith. Now, that show's always been very open about stuff. I mean, they've got Tamar, who's just hungry.
Who's hungry like the wolf, as Duran Duran would say.
Right.
The thirst is real.
With Tamar, I mean, what do we call her, Ben? Two Cocks Tamar, that's
but wasn't
right.
It three?
Three could be.
I'm not sure.
There's Jonty, there's her.
On.
Then there's Lisa the Lesbian, who's very hardcore. And then there's Anastasia.
Yes.
Anastasia is a transgender woman.
Who's actually also a qualified doctor.
There we go. Tell me where you're going to find a show like that anywhere else. Huh?
Oh, and Jonty.
Huh? Well, Jonty's the most crazy of them all. Where are you going to find a show like that? Nowhere is the answer. Thank you very much. Say thank you, Gareth, for the CliffCentral.com menu, because there's no way we'd find this particular item on anyone else's menu.
It's essential Friday morning listening.
There we go.
It really is.
Then, of course, it's Casper De Vries and his team, the Casper Radio Show. They're talking to Steve. What happened to you?
Microphone punched him.
I'm going to switch Sia's microphone off. There's no need for that nonsense on a busy morning like today. The Casper De Vries Show, Steve Saunders at the Maslow Hotel to talk about upcoming events. Our extra special guests are Jamie Ledwith and Tim Kay, currently appearing in Bye Bye Baby at the Johannesburg Theatre. And then it's The Buzz with Jason Van Berg, Jen Su, Nikita Camacho. They've got Glitz and Glamour. Top billing presenter Chris Jafta will be in. And then they're going to talk about Masandi's new single. Finally, Sony Channel's Sonia Underwood chats about their first locally commissioned show. O'Neill and Cliff Central with 2 hours of a one-of-a-kind musical bliss. Talented artists. It's a smorgasbord of unbelievable stuff. Kelman and Cliff Central wraps it up between 4 and 6 today. Michael Flax will show off in Relax It's
Flax, and today we are proper balling out of control. From 4:20 onwards, we wildin'. And get home, grab
I'm
a
sorry,
beer.
Sorry, from you what?
Wildin'.
What?
Wilding.
What?
It's like we wild out of control.
Oh.
So get home, grab a beer, have sundowners, get your mom, your dad, bond together, chillax with Flax.
All right. If you even understood one fucking word that he just said, then well done to you. Stephanie Whittles will be in to answer the question of the day before young creative Riabetswe Molibeli will give a little insight into what she does. All right, lots of stuff there. Everybody happy? That's the lineup. Now, Ben, can you imagine you're the person who right after Oscar Pistorius has gone and shot up Reva, you have to go into that bathroom and you have to do the tidying up?
Yeah, when you get to Oscar's
did you think
book,
about it?
That book, Behind the Door, mm-hmm. There's some graphic pictures. The first thing you think of is like, what if you're the first person in the scene? Or this is actually your problem today?
I assumed that poor domestic worker would have to deal with this. But crime scenes are a particular animal to clean. Now, in Britain, and in places like Britain, it is a legal requirement to have these crime scenes cleaned professionally. But in South Africa, it isn't a legal requirement, so a lot of the time it's not done properly. And I don't know how you feel, but if you were going shopping for a house over the weekend, and there'd been some kind of chainsaw murder in that garage, and there was blood splatter all over the roof and the floor and the walls, I don't know that would be a good thing for the sale price of that house. Plus, it's difficult to clean some of this stuff up. It's a messy business. Now, the only people who can help us understand this are Eileen De Jager and Rolien Schutter, and they are here this morning to tell us how you clean a crime scene. Right. Ladies, very, very big welcome to both of you. This is exciting. I don't think I've ever met anybody who does this for a living. I don't know that there are that many people who do. It must be a very specialized business. I don't imagine you have a lot of competition.
I get it. It is actually very specialized, and just for interesting sake, it is... Yeah. Illegal to get a non-professional company to clean a crime scene as well in South Africa.
Oh, it is?
It is. You have to have it done, yeah. But as you said earlier, it's a very specialized business.
Sure.
And as comfortable as you are behind these microphones, we are comfortable at the scenes as well.
Yeah. Now, when you walk into some of these places, it must look like a very ugly Hollywood set, but it's actually usually a real life scenario where someone has been murdered.
Oh yeah, Garrett, definitely. Well, some of these places are really covered in blood, and then some of them we call nosebleeds, and then it's like a small tiny little pools of blood, and some is like hectic stuff, you know. It looks like Freddy's
like
been through this.
It sounds like hectic stuff no matter what. I mean, you talk about a nosebleed. I have had nosebleeds before. It's hard to clean blood off of stuff.
Yeah.
Blood is not easy to clean.
We have a blood spotter for that.
What do you use? Do you have special chemicals?
We do. We've got some chemicals that was made especially for us to remove and clean and decontaminate all areas that is contaminated with blood and other bodily fluids.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it is special. It is very strong, and you cannot use it without proper respirator. Yeah.
That first job, though, that you did, the very first one, wasn't that even just a little bit traumatic?
Oh, yes. The first one was horrific.
Yeah.
We were young. We were very stupid. We needed the money. in England in any case. So we went in as technicians and they threw us in the deep end. So we went into, well, my first scene was in a bathroom, little lady that cut her pulse.
Oh my God, yeah. She committed suicide?
Yes, she did, in a bath, and I was very young and eager, and when I walked in there, I thought I was going to faint.
Was she still there, or did they take her away?
They took her away, just as we arrived.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome.
So, yes, my first day on the job, I saw a body, I saw blood, I saw a bath. It was horrific.
When do you guys actually get called in? Because, you know, police still need to process the scene first. So how long afterwards do you guys get called in to do the cleanup?
Some people are very eager to get the scene cleaned immediately, especially if they have kids that need to come back from school or family that has to come and see the family of the victim or the person that committed suicide. So most of the time, we would be there before the police is finished with their investigation, so we wait.
But they will have they'll have had to collect all the evidence and information that they need before they can let you start cleaning.
Absolutely, yeah. They have to sign off on the scene before we start.
Do you watch a lot of these shows like CSI?
We laugh at them, yeah.
You laugh at them, why? Yeah.
Because it's unreal.
Because it's kind of ridiculous, guys. You get these tall, 6-foot blondes with their little belts and stuff getting out the elevators, all sexy and stuff. And then they're going into a crime scene, and I want to see one of them clean up one of these scenes like that.
Yeah. But it's very interesting.
What do you have to wear when you go into these places?
We look like these little Martian peoples, you know, that's, what's that, speedy, big, white blob kind of thing.
The Michelin Man.
It's suits and it's respirators and it's goggles and it's, I mean, and you boots. Name it, we've got it on because, I mean,
very sexy.
And, so in other words,
you look really unattractive when you're
absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, okay.
This might be a bit of a tough question, but like you've been doing this for quite a while, you must be quite numb to it. Do you ever get those days where you want to be shocked?
Yeah, we do.
You wouldn't mind a bit of something?
Please shock me.
No, you never get numb to it. You get used to it.
What is the worst thing you've had to deal with? And I mean, there are going to be people who are going to be horrified by this. So I warn you now, if you're about to tuck into your breakfast, this might not be the right time.
Anyway, the worst, murders, Gareth, they're hectic. They're always the worst.
Farm murders?
Yeah, because they like just torture people on there. That's just all over the show there.
Everywhere.
I mean, if you take 42 to 61 hours to clean up one house, then you know you're in for a thing. Then you know, and you know what, we can tell the stories by now. We can see what happened in there. We don't need to see the bodies lying around to get the picture. We can kind of make out what happened there. And that's just the hectic things. I say children and farm murders far worse than anything else.
Oh, horrible.
Children must be really upsetting, right?
Bloody cots and little baby beds and things.
Rulene does those. Yeah. I don't do that.
I don't have kids. And it's even hard for me
it is.
I'm so close to hers, but just blood and baby beds don't mix.
So, Eileen, you won't do the kids because...
Not if I don't have to. Right. No. Rulene steps in there.
Rulene, you're hardcore.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Nothing scares you, huh?
Only you, Gareth.
Oh, come on. Please. Would you ever be surprised by a situation? I mean, there was that Funbradar murder in the Cape where the whole family were taken apart with an axe. Mm. Have you seen things like that before?
We've seen the pictures of that specific one. We didn't clean it. For some reason, we couldn't clean it. We were not allowed there, but it's horrific. It is absolutely horrific. Makes you angry, makes you furious. On your way home, you just want to kill something.
Kill more people.
Well, make more have you ever killed anyone?
No.
Oh, sure. Thank God, I was just checking. All right, now, if you go to enough of these things and you see enough of this violence and you see what people can do, because, you know, there's so much ugliness in the world already. And for somebody like me who doesn't spend every day on a crime scene, it's even difficult for me to remain optimistic about human beings. Mabale is very negative about people because she says we're just a mess. Everything we do, we screw up. Most people are just vicious, violent, nasty things. Right, Mubs?
Well, that's just what I think.
I think a lot of people agree with her.
I think
how
you're right.
do you manage to stay positive about the world when this is your day job?
Luckily, there's more good in the world than bad, and there's more beautiful than ugly, and there's more love than hate. Especially if you start opening your eyes in our work, like you just said, we work with. I mean, if you open your diary, it says homicide, suicide, murder. Your whole life is filled with these negative, depressing things that you do every day. But being able to help and assist them, so they don't have to go through the trauma themselves, makes it worth it, makes it beautiful, makes it perfect. The fact that she stays in Belita doesn't...
Belita, no, but so you clean all over the country, right?
We do.
You clean all over the country.
Except Western Cape, but we will get there soon.
Just getting back to the front bedar, you said that, was that a strange case that you weren't allowed to get in there, or did the police do something different there?
No, we were contacted by one of our associates to go and do a quote. We did, and then we heard that it's been sorted. Maybe because of the first book.
How do you do a quote? I'm interested. What does that quote say? Cleaning up blood in entrance hall,
absolutely.
55 rand,
yeah.
33 cents.
No, never.
What does it cost? Is it quite costly?
It is not. It is definitely not. It is worth it as your sanity. There's no price on your sanity.
Yeah.
And then people would think, oh, my goodness, they're expensive or whatever. If you have insurance, they will cover it. So it doesn't even have to cost you a cent.
So if Mabale murders her ex in the entrance hall and there's, I don't know, let's say she takes a spade, a shovel to his head, how much of a mess would that be and how much would it cost her to clean that up?
I don't know. Should be four.
Yeah.
Between 3.5 and 4.
4 grand. Okay. Yeah. Mubs, can you cover
basically
that to us?
Per room. Yeah.
Why are you asking me?
I'm curious. That's something you never think about.
Something I've never thought about.
If you cannot, we've got millions of ways to help. We do pro bono. Oh. We do payment plans. We do insurance for you. You don't even have to pay us immediately.
Is it hardest to get blood out of a carpet, out of sheets and pillowcases? What's the worst?
Gareth, it's a real bitch getting blood out of anything. But we kind of got this awesome thing on it's not on the market, but
it should be.
You have this chemical.
Yes, we do. It's called the blood spotter. Mm-hmm. So.
It removes everything from everything.
If you mess wine, if your dog's on heat, if your wife's on heat, it doesn't matter who's on heat. But you spray that stuff on, leave it 5 minutes and give it a rub, the blood's gone. I can guarantee you. And we should have actually brought him some.
I would love some of that because I am a bit of a cleanliness freak.
A lot, not a bit.
Raleen as well.
He's OCD.
No, Raleen.
Me too.
After you've been on one of these crime scenes, do you go and stand in the shower for an hour?
Oh, no.
What do you do?
Do a McDonald's drive-through first, maybe just do a little wipe of the hands with a little sanitizer, lappy or something, shower burger, then go home. And sometimes don't have time for a shower before you eat the next one, so do that at night. So just clean the face.
on a very busy day, then how many crime scenes will you get through in one day?
You can fit in three if you really work.
You
really
can, but it's tiring. It is.
I can imagine.
It is, but you go into a robot zone.
Yeah.
And you go into a mode and you just do it. And when you're done, you just sleep. Okay, you shower first for 2 hours and then you sleep.
But is there like a particular crime season? I mean, are you guys busy over certain times?
There is. We're in crime season now. It's Valentine's Day is coming up.
It's silly season, actually. We also have fun with things.
Yeah, people... It's not worth it. He or she is not worth it to commit suicide.
That's interesting.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Valentine's Day, hectic, hey? Over Christmas.
Oh, no. Valentine's
completely.
Day is bad, isn't
it? Yeah, because now you get
special day.
Are you gearing up for a big... ladies, are we gearing up for a big weekend?
Yeah, big massacre.
We are.
Sia's horrified. He's horrified.
He is. Oh.
He's young.
I really have no words. I don't...
Because I'm just thinking, you know, you have to prepare yourself to go to work. And how do you wake up on a blue Monday and you go, eh, I'm just going to go and scrub some blood today?
Luckily, we don't have working hours. We're not 9-to-5ers. Yeah. We work 24/7. So there's no working days for us. There's no really weekends. You don't make plans if you don't have a backup plan in action. Your franchisees may be assisting you for the weekend so I can go away. So we don't have blue Mondays. We have blue every days.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And if you get a call at 3 in the morning, you have to take it. You have to get out of bed and
absolutely
get your suit on and your boots and get going.
And go.
Now, I imagine that there are a lot of situations where you guys can, you mentioned already, Raleen, that you can see what happened.
Mm.
Even though the bodies are gone and the police have done their work, you guys can reconstruct an event. And sometimes I would imagine you could even do it better than the police. Because you've seen so much of this.
Depending on the police, the experience of the police officer, definitely. Yeah. Some of them are just magnificent.
But we'll give them a good run for their money, though,
but
I think.
Do they ever ask you for your opinion?
Well, Gareth, not really, because we're so, they're so busy with their things and we're so busy with our things. And the only times that we really do speak is when we pass one another and when we maybe find, when we'll find like a panga or a knife or a gun or whatever underneath the blood, obviously, that's stalled. So, you know, then we just give them a call back, they come and they fetch it and we go from there. But you know what? It's not like America. It's not like the UK. It's not all these hectic shows that everybody sees. Mm. People just don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? They just, it's over, it's done, you do your job, we do our job, you clean this, you do that, and it's over. It's so unsympathetic, actually, that it's wrong. So, if they would love if they would love for us to help them, yeah, sure, we will.
And this has it's become such a big business. You've got 16 branches across the country. Six branches across the country. That's incredible. You must employ a lot of people too.
Well, they've owner-operated franchisees, so they do the employment. They have their technicians. They are totally amazing. I think we've got the best group of people, honestly, in South Africa to work together as a group.
Your husband actually stopped doing what he was doing to join you in the business.
That's right, John.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he became jealous.
Yeah.
Of us having all the fun.
Yeah, sounds like such fun. So, someone called Francois Schultz just sent me this message, which is very bizarre. Listening to CliffCentral.com, do these ladies need a triple BEE partner? I'm free and interested. But your name is Francois Schultz. I don't know if you know what BEE means, Francois. You got to explain that to me. But it must also be hard for the people who, I suppose, are doing it just as a job rather than because they really are good at it because they love it like you do. Because it's not the kind of job that you can just do and then, you know, swap from that to being an accountant the next day.
No, definitely not. If you are not born for this, don't even consider it. It will destroy you. It will destroy you.
And you don't go to psychologist.
I think after the show this morning, we're going to have to need to go. I mean, sex and crime and violence all in one.
I know. I mean, we didn't even get the therapy. It's time to take us to all
exactly. We should go together.
Well, there we go. If there's ever been a time, it's now.
It's now.
So what kind of situations do you find yourself in? It's not like other people's workplace where, you know, you have office romances, that kind of thing.
No.
I don't imagine there's any soft edge to this stuff, right?
No, not really.
It's not the kind of place where, you know, there's been a crime scene and then you meet someone lovely and you can go out for drinks afterwards.
No. And usually people don't want to use us again.
No, you should hope not.
You know, there's never any
repeat
business.
Repeat business.
So,
yeah, there is actually a repeat business. We've got a couple of repeat businesses already. Yeah. People have gone through Allen back, and we've helped one of our clients 4 times already.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I would have that client investigated if I were you.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of time.
What we do is not just crime scene cleaning. We assist with suicide cleaning. Mm. We assist with burglaries, broken glass, all that traumatic incidents that you don't want to touch yourself.
Do you do? You don't do car accidents.
We do car accidents afterwards when the car is in the panel beaters, and before the panel beaters, the mechanics can start working on the car. It has to be clean.
Wow.
So we would clean the cars before
No one ever thinks of that.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, the panel beaters and mechanics cannot do that. I mean, it's not. They're not supposed to do that.
And they don't want
that.
To, and they don't want to touch anything.
Because there's brains all over the dashboard
and
stuff,
it
right?
has to be removed.
Ooh. Are brains difficult to clean?
Yes, from the roof especially.
Yeah, it's very sticky.
But what is the texture of brains?
Like
the
chappies.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was about to throw up.
Who's chewing a chappie? If
I
you touch it,
crying.
You know. See, I'll, but just take a walk.
I just got the... What an eventful Friday. Okay, let me just put it that way. What?
Brains are like chappies, huh?
Yeah,
A chewed chappie. If you chew it for a while and you touch it, that's exactly how it feels like.
Have you ever seen, because I've heard that when someone dies, they shit themselves. Like they just release all their mouths.
Do people shit themselves when they die?
Some do.
Do you have to clean that up as well?
You clean everything up. Yeah. Oh.
But not. It's 10%. It's not 90 or... No,
But if it was
obviously
1%.
The body releases all the liquids and everything that's in there.
So the pee is it.
So there's a lot of different liquids that you find on one of these crime scenes. I think a decomposed body lying for 6 months was my worst ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the
like
one we
when
did
you
together.
Walk into a room and it looks like a truckload of mints was just left on the floor, and then once you lift up the brown mincy pieces, then you get to this yellow, like you've got on this Cliff Central boards, this yellow liquid, and then if you can just touch that with your finger once and walk a block away and you go smear it somewhere, you'll still smell it. That is just hectic.
Just check your ratings quickly. I'm not sure if people are tuning out on radio.
People will be interested in this. No one knows this stuff.
Yeah.
But like, what happens there? You don't just go there with like a garden refuge bag and toss it in.
No.
I mean, you
no, we do have wet boxes. We do have our own. I mean, we're actually very professional. We just...
No, you're talking about it now like normal people talk. So when a body's decomposed for 6 months, like let's say a grandma dies in her flat... And no one goes to visit her for
Garrison,
6 months.
That happens a lot.
It does, right?
They only found, they find them on holidays when they want to use the flats in Durban for the holidays.
And, like
and then, oh, my goodness, grandma's dead. you
and
have to come home.
Hey, come clean the flat quickly. We want to get in tomorrow.
They don't care about the grandma.
And we're not the grandma. We just want the flat. Come clean.
And what does the grandma look like after 6 months of sitting in a flat in Durban?
Lockmans.
Mince, huh?
It's so bad that the cats won't even look at it.
Twisting around there,
Do you ever find people that have been eaten by their cats?
Oh, yes.
You do?
Oh, yes.
But
I had one
mostly
of them.
Dogs.
Dogs, cats. I had a gruesome scene in Cape Town about a year ago, which the guy fell out of his well, obviously it was a chair or something, but he couldn't get up again. And he had two lassie dogs in there, and he had five cats, and they just ripped into pieces. And it was insane. The dogs had no water for 3 weeks. I think that's what I'm pissed off about.
Were the dogs alive?
Were in the house.
And they were alive?
Yeah, they were feeding off him and drinking toilet water and doing all these things.
Well, that's resourceful.
Yeah.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
That exact story is in the book.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hectic. When I walked in there, just to quote for the rest of the family, the place was so full of fleas at first. But obviously, they come from the dogs and everything.
Oh.
So it's insane how places look like and what do you actually find and have to do. It's worse than people can actually think of. But also... By saying that, Gareth, is we love what we leave behind. We love that people can actually come back in, it'll be safe, and they can actually, you know what, it's livable again.
Of course, you help
but
people.
But you get some
hectic
stuff.
Who wants to end up cleaning that stuff up themselves?
I know you can't. It's much more traumatizing cleaning it up yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-mm. We are joking around now about, well, we're just normal people as well.
Yeah.
But
sure, of course.
But we are definitely
the guys to come to.
And you're serious about this, which,
absolutely.
Is, which is good. You know your stuff.
So what kind of conversations do you have when you are at a social event with a random stranger? They're like, oh, what do you do for
you
a
lie.
Living? You lie.
You
lie.
You say, I'm a banker or something else.
They leave you alone.
Otherwise, you'll just have them the whole night.
I'm sensing the best reality TV show with the two of you, okay? So this is how it works. You get called to the scene, and the place is just a mess, okay? So there's the guy eaten by his cats and his dogs. You go in there, and the first half of the show is you basically tidying everything up, and you see everything. The next half of the show is you flip it and try to sell it.
That'll be awesome.
These unsuspecting buyers go, oh, look at the skylight.
Like,
but meanwhile, there was
home
brains on it.
And because
you've seen it, the cleanup, you're thinking, oh my gosh, and this people don't know. And it'll be so funny because they go, wow, there's so much space here. I think we can redo great things for the kids' room.
Yeah, we I wonder who's got the sick mind here.
Yeah, I'm going to admit it's me.
Ben is a sicko. But that's a good idea.
But it's a good idea.
Can you imagine the show and everyone's going, oh my gosh, you can't live there. There was this, but they don't know.
I would watch a television show with you two in it. I'm pretty sure it would be gruesome. Good morning. Is this, who's this, Michael? Michael, yeah, go ahead, man.
Morning, sisters. Just wanted to ask you guys, what happens to, like, wooden floors? Do you have to rip them up when the body's been there for a long time? I'm just curious.
He's asking, wooden floors, do you have to rip them up when a body's been there for a long time?
No, not always. It depends on how long the body has been there, and it depends on what wood it is also.
And how it's treated, absolutely. Yeah.
Why? Michael, have you got a body lying around in your wooden floors?
I just have a wooden floor house. I was just curious.
Sure.
But everyone's safe in my house.
What's under that wooden floor, Michael?
Couple of skeletons.
Yeah. Have you ever had that where you find remains of someone else and they call you guys in to help clean up afterwards?
No, luckily not, Gareth.
Well, we found everything.
It would have been in the book if we had that. Yeah.
Now, this book is interesting. You also, Rilene, you talk quite openly about your own family and how they feel about the work you do, and also the fact that you are gay.
Yeah.
And you know that you're not fitting into anybody else's sketch drawing of what kind of life a little girl should grow up to want to have.
Yeah. Well,
he just threw it out there, Rilene.
Yeah.
Come on, I mean, bring it up. It's worth discussing,
you just
right?
You fell out the closet there, and you just.
You fell out of the closet.
Well, I fell out the closet when I was about 5 years old. I think. I fell out the cot completely.
I love it. Yeah, and your parents just—I mean, what's harder for them? Dealing with the fact that you're gay, or dealing with the fact that you clean up crime scenes?
We have a fantastic, awesome father. He's the most coolest thing in the world. He's like 65. It looks like 35. I don't know where we come from, but he's like the most awesome thing.
He's the man.
He just he's the shit completely.
Wow.
So he just backs us in anything we do, Gareth. He told me when I told him that I am gay, he told me it's a phase, my child, and now the phase is like 30 years old as well. So it's the same phase.
Yeah. It's one hell of a phase.
He's just awesome. So he just respects and do everything with us. This book is amazing.
The
main man there.
I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen a book this interesting. When it comes to things like suicide, and you even help people to recognize the signs around that.
You have to, especially with suicide, because insurance doesn't pay for suicide.
Right.
And if people just accept that it was suicide, why? All the questions afterwards, the blame they're going to put them on themselves, why did my son, my husband, my wife commit suicide? If it wasn't. So if we see signs that it is not suicide, we would definitely tell the investigators and they would look into it.
Listen to this paragraph quickly, Mubs. There are many family members who won't want to talk about the death of a mother, mother-in-law, or grandmother, and may refuse to look at photographs of the deceased in order to help them process the trauma. Perhaps one may accuse the other of not doing everything in their power to prevent an accident, for example. On the other hand, there may be some who are secretly relieved that their mother-in-law is no longer in the picture to meddle in their lives. They're free to enjoy their newfound freedom. Do you ever find that when you're cleaning up one of these scenes, some family member will stop by and go, yes, Ding dong, the witch is dead. I'm so happy she's gone. You have no idea what a bitch she was.
Yeah.
You do?
You do get them.
Right.
Yeah.
You do.
Some it's horrible, but you do.
Horrible people, right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed at this work that you guys do. I don't think that there's really anything that can replace experience in this sort of line of work, right?
No.
You need.
You can't teach other people.
No. You can teach them to the best of your ability, and then it's experience, absolutely.
Wow, what a story. We have to get you in again sometime soon.
Yeah, yes, do.
Well, Raleen, Eileen, thank you both very, very much. Eileen De Jager and Raleen Skitter are known as the Blood Sisters. They are the foremost crime scene cleaners in South Africa. They know absolutely everything about this. Is there anything else anyone wants to know quickly before I let these ladies move on with their day of cleaning up blood splatter?
Our telephone number, guys.
Oh, wait. Let me tell you about the book. That's important. Let's plug the book. This book is called Flesh and Blood. It's written by Riet Rist with Eileen and with Raleen in it. It's not for sensitive readers, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of descriptions in here. No photographs.
No, absolutely not.
But descriptions of all the things that they've seen and all the places that they've been and all the people they've met.
Yeah.
Now, any famous murders?
We signed dear SLA, so no.
Oh, you can't. Oh, all right. Okay. You didn't do the Pistorius one, though.
No, we did not.
Oh, well, that would have been a good one.
Just for the record, we did not.
That would have been a good one, though, huh?
Yeah, it would have.
Oh, that would have been exciting.
Yeah. Could have seen that bathroom window.
Ladies, if we want to find out more, are you on social media? Are you available if people want to find out how to engage your services?
Absolutely. Social media, Facebook, we are Crime Scene Clean Ups with the S. Somebody stole the up before we did. I don't know how they do it.
Crime Scene Clean Ups. Okay, got
crime
you.
Crime Scene Clean Ups with our logo. We'll put the book up so you can see it's us.
All right.
On Twitter, Crime Scene Group. Please tweet us. We love hearing from you.
Thank you.
If you need assistance, emergency number 0844-333-999. Yes, it is a South African number. We get it a lot.
Put it in your the back of your diary.
Put it in the back of your diaries. And we've got an app, so you can go onto Google Store and download our app if
what
you need
your
assistance.
App do?
It's an app that if you press on it, if you click on it, it will
gives you the contact details and all
to,
of that stuff. Yeah, wow,
that's
okay.
That's right.
But you can't use the app to clean the crime scene.
No.
All right, very good. Ladies, thank you so much for coming
thank
to talk
Karen.
To us this morning. Fascinating work you do, Raleen, Eileen. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you.
All right. CliffCentral.com. Coming up in a moment or two, Valerie Scher, who is the Executive Vice President of Creative at NBC in New York City. She is the woman who has commissioned shows like the Steve Harvey Show. She commissioned The View with Barbara Walters, for heaven's sake. This is one hell of a story. Don't miss any of that. And we will see you on Monday again, if you, for any reason, are not able to join us in the next little while. You can listen to this and any other part of CliffCentral.com's amazing content, smorgasbord, at any time you like by just downloading any one of the podcasts. If you don't have our app already, you can go and get that too on CliffCentral.com. Coming up next, Valerie Scher and lots more on CliffCentral.com. You've already heard what the rest of the lineup is for today, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. So, thank you very much. And if you want to get hold of us, you know how to do that too, right? No explanation necessary. CliffCentral.com.